hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we're pulling out the big guns on the show today. I got Dr. Doug Ebersole with us right now. Dr. Doug, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, Greg. Good to talk to you.
Yes. Well, you know, I figured I had to bring on, you know, our scientific medical super diver guru. Because, you know, we've already been talking about tooth fillings and diving. And I know you're like the chairman of the board of DAN now. So, and I told this to Pete from Scuba Board. He had a problem with a filling on a tooth. That
can be a problem.
Exactly. And he said, and I said, you know, I've heard of this issue before. I've never really known anybody had the problem, but it's not that uncommon to have that little tooth issue. If the filling didn't get filled just right, his tooth popped off.
The problem is if you have a filling, you've got to make sure it's completely filled, because obviously if there's any airspace inside the filling, while that wouldn't be a problem, normally if you go under pressure, it can squeeze down, or if it some leaks in while you're at depth, as right. You come up, it can expand and pop the filling out.
And that's exactly what happened to good old Pete. But, you know, he said, I'd never heard of this before. I said, I think they probably got articles on the dan.org website about it. I don't think it's that uncommon, is it?
No, not uncommon. It's your typical physics. It's Boyle's law, you know, right. Air spaces and so forth. So,
well, there
I'm sure there's something up there on the DAN website about it.
I feel backed up by the man himself. All right. So, Dr. Doug has spoken, and there you go. All right. Well, what have you been up to? I know he's the chairman of the board of Divers Alert Network. If that's not keeping you busy enough, I mean, I know you're traveling the world, teaching rebreather diving. Is that the thing you're into at the moment, or what you've been doing mostly, or what?
Yeah. As you know, I kind of went part-time of my cardiology practice a couple years ago to free up some extra time. And time just kind of gets filled up with other things. Mostly what I've been doing the last few months is, when I'm not at the hospital, has been dive training. So a combination of things, some open circuit technical diving, training, but mainly diving or teaching rebreathers or teaching cave diving. So those have been that's what's kind of been tying me up a lot of the last few months.
Well, yeah. And you know, he saved people's lives and does heart surgeries and things like that just to pay for his diving habit. Something like that, he said over the year. That's kind of how it works. And you've made enough where now you can focus more on the diving part, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I still do enough because I enjoy it. And I do just some structural heart procedures. I don't take call anymore. So that's nice.
Yeah. Well,
and gives us, Carol and I, a chance to travel together, and gives me a chance to do my dive teaching kind of, in a little bit easier fashion.
Well, there you go. I mean, he's got to save a life every now and then, you know, so he does that. And then hopefully he doesn't have to do that when he's out diving. Now, when you're doing your teaching, though, these rebreathers, these are relatively small classes, aren't they? I mean, you're almost doing like twos and threes when you're doing this rebreather training stuff, or what?
Yeah, or even ones occasionally. The by standards, the maximum ratio is 3-1.
Okay.
It's nice to have two. Mm-hmm. Because that way they can be each other's buddy for skills and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where if there's just one You know, it's kind of me playing the buddy for whatever emergencies and air shares and so forth. So I kind of work it out on the schedule, but, you know, two to three is great. One is workable if that's the only time we can get kind of worked out together.
Right. Well, like all of that type of diving, it takes a little bit more of a commitment over open circuit scuba. And we've talked about this before. You know, I'm a rebreather certified on the AP diving unit. But I haven't done it in years. And the reason was because I really didn't have a steady buddy. And it's right. really important to, if you're going to go down that route, to stay active. And obviously staying active means you probably have a buddy that has one of these systems too, that you can dive often, right?
Yeah, it's very helpful. It's not required, but it's very helpful. One of the bullet points and the slide sets we'll say that for rebreather divers, you need to make that your, quote, primary diving equipment. I don't think it needs to be quite that way, but the idea mainly is you got to stay active and do it a lot, so the muscle memory and all that, just like any other sport or scuba diving in general. You know, you want to stay active.
Exactly. Now, what's the unit you're teaching in? I saw a Facebook post from you the other day, and you were talking about some new rebreather system or giving a tip of the hat to the manufacturer or something. Are you doing a bunch of different ones, or is there one you're zeroed in on at the moment?
No, I actually teach quite a few of them. I've been teaching the KISS rebreather units, which would be the Sport, the Classic, the Sidewinder, and the Spirit for probably 20 years. I also can teach the JJ, which is an electronic back mount unit. I can teach the Choptima, which is the dive right chest mount, the FX-CCR, which is a subgravity chest mount, and the Dive Talk Go, which is kind of more of a, not really recreational, but it's a much lighter unit, really designed for travel, and is not certified quite as deep because the scrubber isn't quite as large as some others.
Right.
So a whole bunch of them. The one you were mentioning that we put out a few days ago, Mike Young, who was the mastermind behind the Spirit and the Sidewinder at KISS Rebreathers, has come up with a new rebreather called the Stingray. That rebreather is a back mount unit. It's designed, it'll work for anything, but its niche compared to others is for diving really deep. It's going to have two oxygen cylinders, one that runs on what's called a constant mass flow, which we don't need really to get into. But those kind of rebreathers are usually limited to around 300 feet. And then this would have a second unit that you could add oxygen if you need to go deeper. And it's got more sorb. It's got like 7 pounds of sorb, so it'll last longer. So for longer, deeper dives, you can do that. It's also modifiable just to do kind of as a standard rebreather. So we've been working on that. They just released it through INTD for training earlier this week. So
about that,
that's kind of where we are.
Well, and not just the fact that they have cool names for all these different models. Is there a big difference between one manufacturer and the other? I mean, you have to get certified on that particular unit for sure, but are the physics and everything kind of the same between the rebreathers or what?
Pretty much. For the closed circuit rebreathers, there are kind of two major categories. One is the electronic, which is like the Inspiration that you were diving and some of the other ones I teach, which has a solenoid so that as you metabolize oxygen, it injects oxygen back into the system. So that's an electronic rebreather.
Mm-hmm.
The KISS units and this Stingray unit and the Dive Talk Go are all what's called mechanical. And without getting too much into the physics, the idea is you have a fixed pressure in your first stage and you have an orifice. So that anytime you turn the O2 on, there's a constant flow, and that flow is designed to be at about your body's metabolism. So it doesn't require solenoids. It's much simpler.
Mm-hmm.
The only potential downside that some people would say is that if you get deep enough to equalize the pressure inside the regulator, the oxygen will stop flowing. But that depth is at about 300 feet, so that's not a major consideration for the vast majority of divers.
Gotcha.
So that's the main thing. And then there's another group out there that uses what's called a needle valve, which is kind of a hybrid. So you could use a standard regulator, so there's no depth problem. But the issue with that is with the orifice, and again, not meaning to get too much into physics, if you go deeper, so there's higher pressure in that regulator, you'd have a lot more flow, which is not what you want. So you have a needle valve that as you go deeper, you crank down the orifice and make it smaller and smaller. You know, multiple ways to skin a cat.
There you go.
But physics, you know, physics is all the same.
A little technical, but hey, you know what? It's cool if you want to pursue that avenue on your dive plan for the future. We're going to talk about going to Fiji with Dr. Doug next. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
When it comes to manufacturing quality dive gear, pretty much all the big players were forced to produce their stuff overseas. Nex Underwater Products, however, took a different approach, bringing design and assembly back to the USA. They have an impressive story, and you can read all about it at nexdive.com, along with checking out their complete line of high-quality dive gear. Each Nex regulator system is made to order, cutting down on overhead, which allows Nex to give you way more bang for your diving buck. At the core of each Nex regulator is a unique modular design that can be easily modified as your diving skills and preferences evolve over time. And get this, Nex is the Scuba Lab Tester's Choice winner for 2025. Your best dive will be your next dive. Just go to nexdive.com and order now. That's N-E-X-Dive.com. Nex Underwater Products. Make your next dive your best dive at nexdive.com.
Show off your good taste and wear your favorite radio show and podcast logo with official Scuba Radio merch.
Merch is short for merchandise.
No sh**. Thank you. Very helpful. We've got more than ever at scubaradio.com.
I like it. Sweet.
We're talking high-quality, sharp-looking Scuba Radio hats, shirts, hoodies, beach towels, blankets, board shorts, rash guards, pajama pants, coffee mugs, phone cases, magnets, umbrellas, wall clocks, tennis shoes, even flip-flops.
That's a mouthful.
It is a lot of Scuba Radio swag.
Big time. Lots of stuff. Speaking of which, tell them about the Scuba Radio stuff for women divers.
We didn't forget about the ladies. We've got women's leggings, crop top tees, and tons more stuff for women.
I rock my Scuba Radio merch all the time. Tons of compliments.
Flex your riz.
What?
Represent the drip.
Just don't.
The biggest assortment of Scuba Radio merch ever. Get yours now at scubaradio.com.